Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Should the law school at the University of South Dakota relocate to Sioux Falls? A committee continues to explore the options, and SDPB's Jackie Hendry was in the room for the second meeting yesterday in Sioux Falls. Hey, Jackie, welcome.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
All right. The first meeting was in Vermilion.
Mm-hmm.
Second meeting in Sioux Falls.
Yes.
Other meetings planned? Not to jump to the end, but where else are they going to go?
One more meeting planned back here in Vermilion. Rumor has it might even be on USD's campus again, possibly in the law school building, but we'll see.
All right. Let's start with the meeting in Sioux Falls. Give me an overview of how this one differed from the first meeting in Vermilion, and then how was it the same?
Well, the first meeting was kind of setting the scene for possible reasons to move the law school, general trends in enrollment and things like that. The second meeting covered a lot of information that they didn't have in the first one. They were looking for testimony from various industry professionals in Sioux Falls, like trust funding and banking and healthcare, these professions that are increasingly hiring more and more law school graduates, their thoughts on the matter, some more student testimony, and testimony from other law schools in the country that have done not the same thing, but pretty much the most comparable situation that we have. A lot of information yesterday.
So the tone in the room in Vermilion was very positive toward keeping the law school in Vermilion for a variety of reasons. What's the overall tone in this meeting?
But by the end of the day, it was pretty split. A lot of that testimony from industry professionals said, look, it would be a lot more convenient both for students and for the industry professionals wanting to work with students if they were here in Sioux Falls. One of the trust firms talked about having a partnership with Augustana, and a lot of that was just the benefit of having that daily availability of students that you don't have with even just a one-hour distance both ways. So industry professionals were in favor of that, but also the idea, the general counsel of Sanford is Kim Patrick, and he is also an adjunct professor with the School of Law, and he pointed out that we would have a much greater availability of adjunct professors if that law school was in Sioux Falls, because some of them are able to make that commute, but many of them aren't. And actually another legal professional based in Sioux Falls, Marie Rutgers, who is a managing attorney with the Guzman Law Firm in Sioux Falls, she testified urging them to move the law school because she would be more than happy to be an adjunct and support in any way possible, but she just can't handle that commute, and that seems to be the case for a lot.
What about the faculty now and students? How many folks are currently commuting?
About 25%. That might be a bit on the high end, but about a quarter of both students and a quarter of the faculty, it sounds like, are already making that commute.
From Sioux Falls to Vermilion.
That's right.
But that means 75% of the faculty is not making that commute.
Right, exactly.
And tell me a little bit about some of the other themes that came up, other things they talked about.
Well, kind of a general theme in both meetings was that concern about serving the whole state, which is largely rural, and that is not necessarily the case, obviously, with Sioux Falls. Previously, in the first meeting, Emily Kerr, who is representing the Legislative Research Council in Peer, she offered her own personal testimony. She is from Highmore, South Dakota, less than 1,000 people, exceptional student, scored in some of the highest percentiles of the LSAT. Ultimately, she visited USD's law school when she was looking at going to law school and decided not even to apply. She ended up going to St. Thomas in Minneapolis, but now, of course, she is back in South Dakota. And so an ongoing theme was, why are we losing those students, those top students in South Dakota, these South Dakota people who aren't staying with us, and how do we continue to serve them? And that became an ongoing theme, and I have a clip with a conversation between counsel, a member of the task force, attorney Mark Meyer-Henry, and a bit of a back and forth that he has with the chair of the task force, Representative Mark Mickelson.
There's no doubt in my mind, Mark, you and I could form an LLC or a corporation, start a law school tomorrow in Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls has that activity. We have that spirit, and we can do that. But we aren't going to help Mobridge, and we aren't going to help Pierre. We aren't going to help Rapid. And it isn't going to be an academic institution. It's going to be a trade school.
We're not debating this now, but you got to get the big picture. And when your kid from Highmore doesn't give you a shot because you're not up to snuff, you're not serving Highmore.
Mark,
and you're not serving Pierre, and you're not serving anything in that part of the state.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. $20 billion, $40 billion less effort by the people of the state We've got to figure out a way when we put pro and con, and that's why I said the politics of it, to sell the need of the institution, not just the location. And I'm a little worried about that if we would move it.
So there's several concerns Meyer Henry is expressing here. One of the main concerns that he had was how the location would impact kind of that academic benefit of being on a liberal arts campus and that benefit of that interdisciplinary kind of cross-pollination between disciplines that happens when you have students from a variety of different areas interacting with each other. But secondly, there is an issue about kind of just the financial reality of how law schools operate, what we're able to offer both students, facility needs, that $20 billion to $40 billion that he's referencing is kind of that state revenue, how that has grown over the last 16 years, and just the idea of if we move the law school or if we improve facilities in Vermillion, where is that money coming from?
a lot to be dug into as well. And what about this notion of students who are studying more than law? When he said, you know, you've got a trade school, and you mentioned liberal arts, not everybody is just going to USD to, you know, stay in the law school.
Exactly. And what we discovered yesterday was that about 10% of law students aren't just law students. They're participating in those dual or joint degree programs where they're getting their JD but also getting a master's in history or something else. And also a continuing theme is the symbiotic relationship of these schools. You have law professors that also serve on undergraduate honors thesis committees and teaching in different capacities and different events that ongoing on the campus. You know, someone might be willing to go to a law panel or something like that if it's in Vermillion and they're an English major or something like that to have that exposure. They might be less likely to do that if they have to drive up all the way to Sioux Falls for a lecture.
Okay. All right. Who's next?
Next, we have Professor Hutton of the law school. She is also involved with recruiting potential students. And kind of her point in this clip is that maybe it's not necessarily the location. It's the idea of more flexibility in offering financial aid to potential students.
And I can't tell you the number of outstanding applicants. We had accepted them. They liked the school very much. And when it came down to whether they would come to us or not, I was dealing with the numbers that you're seeing right up there, where we had one person who could get a full ride, and for the rest of them, you know, from foundation money, I guess we had maybe 1,000 or maybe 5,000, or maybe it could go a little bit higher. But if I'm trying to compete for a student and I can give that person $1,000 and Nebraska can give that person a full ride, I might as well just not even go to work that day. I mean, there's no comparison. And so even if I had, instead of that 2 up there where it says South Dakota, if I could have 5, that would make a tremendous difference to the people that we might be able to get into the school rather than just accept them.
That 2 to 5 that she's referencing is the number of scholarships that are currently available that are more than 50% of tuition, but less than a full ride. So currently, the law school only has about 2 of those scholarships that they're able to offer prospective students. Professor Hutton is arguing that if that number was even up to 5, she would be able to bring even more of those best and brightest students to USD's law school. Also sitting in on the meeting yesterday, not a member of the committee, but is Mike Spivey of the Spivey Consulting Group based in Colorado. And that consulting group specializes in working with law schools across the country about improving admissions and administrative issues and things like that. He made the note that psychologically speaking, even if the net tuition of the law school is more somewhere else than at USD, when a student sees, you know, a $10,000 scholarship as opposed to a $1,000 scholarship, psychologically, they're going to be more prone to attend the school that's offering them more money, even if they're ultimately paying more in the end.
Sure.
My consulting firm grows applicant pools for law schools. We've done it successfully for every law school we've worked with. And in the last one we worked with, we grew their applicant pool 98% in 1 year. My whole reason for that backdrop is President Abbott also hired my firm to help with enrollment, with increasing the applicant pool. I believe we can do that whether the school's in Vermillion or Sioux Falls. So I think we can grow the applicant pool in either location. But I will note that one thing that hasn't been brought up is 95% of law school applicants have their first point of contact with a law school online now. And it's not necessarily the website, it's Reddit and toplawschools.com. There is hardly any media or student online recognition of South Dakota Law School.
All right, so that was Mike Spivey again from that consulting firm.
Seems like kind of an oversight. Or a significant takeaway. Let's just say that. Let's not call it an oversight. Let's call it a significant takeaway that perhaps online this school doesn't have the presence that it really could. It's a potential for growth.
Definitely. And, you know, considering the ongoing conversation, you know, full disclosure, I live in Vermilion. Community members know that I'm working on this story. A former faculty member of USD conjectured that maybe this task force is less about actually moving the school or not, but more about starting that conversation and bringing attention to possible funding needs. I'm not sure if there's any truth that this is that much of a ruse, but the members of USD Foundation talking about other financial issues yesterday, John Memminger is with the USD Foundation, and he said something yesterday that made me believe maybe there was some truth to that, starting that conversation.
One of the things that I can say about even bringing the committee together is that it's really given a shot in the arm to the conversation around the law school. So the location, I won't make any comments on the location or where it should be or anything like that, but what I can say is that it's really helped the conversation about ways that we can improve the law school, conversations about people being excited by the law school, and it has helped speed up those conversations. Really, it's boiling down to whatever the committee and everybody involved in the decision-making process decides is best for the law school.
So the thought here is that just having the conversation has brought out the love from Vermilion and maybe said it's time to pay a little attention to what we're doing and amp it up.
Definitely. That seemed to be the theme, because definitely several people are a lot more excited about the law school than you might have guessed before this task force was formed.
But going back to the original intention, you know, the original intention wasn't just, hey, we're moving it to Sioux Falls. It was, let's talk about the viability of different things. Now, this hasn't been done before anywhere else, right, where you just uproot the whole school and move it. What sort of, you mentioned in the beginning, you know, people talking about other communities and what creative solutions they've had.
Right. Really the closest in the nation of an example that we have is with the University of Idaho. And that wasn't even about closing one location to move it somewhere else. Ultimately, what that law school ended up doing was opening a secondary location. And this was prompted partially by an incoming private law school that was spurring competition. Also, the fact that Idaho's state constitution mandated that the law school is in a particular city, so they couldn't leave that city necessarily. But ultimately, what that school ended up doing was the original location in Moscow, Idaho, slowly over the course of about 6 years, starting in about 2010, the third-year law courses began to be offered both in Moscow and in Boise, Idaho, which is about a 300-mile difference. And then over the course of time, more and more courses were added until now, starting this fall, all 3 years are offered in both locations. But obviously, that's not exactly what we're looking at here.
All right. So we started the conversation with the question whether or not the law school serves Highmore, serves Pierre. Any chance that they'll move some of those meetings to, you know, another location other than Vermilion or Sioux Falls?
There was some conversation, yeah, especially since some task force members are driving all the way from Belfouche.
Right.
But it doesn't sound like that's going to happen.
All right. Jackie Hendry, we'll keep following this. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.